Hey, Trash Talkers, Leah Day here. Happy Sunday, and welcome to episode 3, part 2. So just to recap a little bit, what we did was we broke this into 2 parts because last week we started talking to Dari, and her story is very intense. If you haven't seen it yet, make sure you go back and watch part 1 before you watch this one. But Dari really explains to us that she was really tight with some friends. They went to deployment to Iraq, and she ended up getting raped by a friend of hers. And when she reported it, she was sent off for a rape kit, and she came back after about 72 hours of constant having to retell her story and being re-victimized, and was presented with an Article 15 for breaking General Order Number 1. So we wanted to break that up because we know that it can be kind of hard to listen to everything all at once, especially for those of you listeners that have been through something very similar to this and can relate. But we definitely want to make sure that we're telling all of Dari's story here. So tune in to part 2. But first, let me give you a huge shout out to our sponsor, Neuroflow, doing great things over there with our airmen. And we really need to partner up with them in our other branches to help with our mental health. So shoot on over to neuroflow.com to learn more. Without further ado, here's part 2, the rest of Dari's
story. There's no other reason why you would continuously 13 years have night terrors.
Right. Well, on top of everything else that happened to you physically, you know, I mean, I can only imagine you probably have a very close-knit, like, trust in these people with your gang and love them, like, you know, brothers, and for them to just not only turn their back, but lie and be deceitful. And then on top of that, hello, you're in a combat zone. Like, you're not just back in the rear, which is still bad. Like, you are expected to go and perform in a combat zone after that, after knowing everybody else has turned their back on you and lied.
And like, what's crazy is CID investigated it. I sat in a fucking regular room at a table with all of them at the table that I named that was at that party. Somehow all of them have the same story that I tried to give him head.
Well, you have vomit everywhere and you're passed out on your stomach. Does that make sense?
Right. And the reason why my boyfriend didn't see that is because that was after he was already gone. Mm-hmm. So I still ain't had no night terrors of that. Prolonged exposure didn't bring up that as a memory. Mm-hmm. So there's no way that was the cause of it. You know what I'm saying? And even then, what I want to voice on here is, if a woman is drunk, leave her the fuck alone.
Right.
If a man is drunk, leave him alone. They cannot consent. Mm-hmm. They can't. And you don't know what's happened in their life either for you to make that decision to get on them. Especially when you know that that's not who that person is. That's not, she has a boyfriend. She just met you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and on top of that, I mean, their story doesn't hold any water anyway and shouldn't have by CID, because say you were going to give him head, does that give him the right to then penetrate you without your permission? Even if that started consensually and then you were well enough to say no, it's still wrong. And exactly. That they failed you. They absolutely failed you with that. So, I mean, obviously that's not the case, but even if that were the case where you're like, let's do it, and then you change your mind, the answer is no, and no means no. It doesn't mean no, don't.
Right. Catch me.
Yeah, do it.
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean catch me when I'm drunk. No.
No, absolutely not.
What made it worse is that, you okay, Isma? He's looking weird. they asked me if I wanted to go back to the rear. I told them no, because I signed my name on that dotted line because of 9/11. Mm-hmm. I signed up to fight for this country. I'm not being sent back to the rear. I did not do anything wrong. There's no reason for me to be sent home. So I said, get written up 2 more times. Because of course, at that time, I done lost my shit. Because I'm seeing him come in and out my job. I can't say what kind of job I have, but in and out my job every day. That's the job I had. And he was able to come in there every single day. So it fucked with me. It did, like it would anybody else. So I got 2 other Article 15s for basically having a fucked up attitude, pretty much going off on people, you know, like I was done for. Like I was mentally done for. And it's not like I hadn't been in trouble before. I've been in trouble before for my mouth. I used to get smoked all the time because I was a smart ass. But my NCOs will tell you, she did her job.
Yeah.
She, her mouth, that's the problem. But I don't feel like I should have gotten out an Article 15 because that's almost like double jeopardy.
Yeah, they're kicking you when you're down. They know what you've been through.
Yeah, like
and what happens to him? Like, what happened to the perpetrator after you reported him? And you're seeing him around. Like, what happened to him?
Nothing. Didn't get an
Article 15. Like nothing happened.
Nothing. He kept his job. He kept his rank. And because I kept pressing it, even when we came back. We came back home. I took my ass right up there to CID and kept trying to press charges. Because of that, I got my discharge papers. Meanwhile, between me having surgery in February 2007 till August 2007 when I left Texas, I was getting death threats from random shit that ain't never happened before I deployed. So I had to have my mom come down and drive back to Florida with me.
So when you say you got your discharge papers, do you mean that they pushed you out because you were trying to seek justice for what happened?
Yep, they kicked me out under honorable conditions. And put patterns of misconduct, justifiable. Multiple counseling statements, multiple Article 15s. Doesn't matter if it was before or after the rape. I've been in trouble. So it's justifiable. My thing is, my ETS date was November 2007. They kicked me out in August 2007. Just so I could not have my benefits.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And when I tell you for 13 years, I was one angry. Woo! I was angry.
Yeah.
I was angry. I was real angry. And I'm hearing all of this. Like, I watch Fort Hood's ass. I watch Fort Hood more than I watch my own news. God saved my life. Because at any given time, I could have been one of those people that reported it and ended up dead. So I am extremely grateful now. And I don't hold any resentment towards anybody. I just hope I know God didn't make sure that I went through that without coming out of it helping other people. Yeah. So that's why I decided to go ahead and I was going to cancel today.
I wish I could hug you right now.
Because I was so scared. Because it's one to talk about it like publicly, but not give like details of like the actual situation. You know, just people just know like that's what you went through. But I told myself that I would be missing God's path for me if I did not do this podcast tonight. So I'm glad I got up the balls to not cancel it.
Well, Barry, thank you. I mean, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I know that it's really hard, and I know what you're talking about. Like, when you choose to bring it up to certain people, or even if you talk about it like on social media or something, it's very, very different. You don't have somebody coming in, you know, looking at you while you're telling the story. You know, you don't have like, I mean, you have people that will respond, but it's different. And I know that. And, you know, the podcast, like this is something that is going to be on different platforms. And so I know that can be really, really scary, but I want to commend you and tell you thank you and how brave you are for doing it, because, you know, we are doing this because most women that go through this stay silent, and whether or not they're ready to talk about it, we need to talk about it so they can hear it. And so people can know that they're not alone and that there are so many different situations and instances, and none of them are okay. You know,
and them are the same.
No, they're not the same. And, you know, like, I mean, we may internalize them differently. We may handle them all differently, but, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about with being angry. Like, I was such a bitch for years, and it wasn't just my assault that happened, but it was like every day I was harassed, being told like, oh, you give me a chubby, or being overlooked for promotion because I wouldn't get going to bed with my NCO or an officer. And it was like nonstop. And, you know, I had to create a whole different personality of this hard ass bitch just to survive each day to get through it. And then I kept re-enlisting because I was like, I don't know what else I can do out there. Like, I didn't want to get out and be homeless or jobless. Like, I didn't think there was anything better for me to get out. And that fear kept me in and dealing with being just comfortable in my misery. But when I got out, whew, I was an angry person. You know, I mean, I was used to not having friends. I was used to people seeing me and turning and walking the other way because they're like, oh, there she is. And they didn't want to deal with me because they knew I would probably pop off at them. Yep. And so I get that. And, you know, I think a big reason why we have that is, one, there's no justice, right? Nothing, no justice happened to you. And then, you know, you're taking ownership of the things that you did that you know were wrong. Like, okay, well, I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Yes, yeah. I drink in Iraq. You're taking ownership of those things, but it's not your fault what happened.
Right.
And it's not your fault that you got in trouble from things that stemmed because you were unwilling to speak up. Like, that's not okay.
No, it's not. It's not at all. And I feel like let me, a woman came to me when I was in Iraq after I reported my rape, another soldier. She asked me, she didn't actually ask. She said, I'm not reporting my rape because I see what they're doing to you. She actually got raped by a commander. And I doubt she ever reported it because I got retaliated on so bad it was unfucking believable. Everybody seen it. Everybody seen it. And the fact that me reporting my rape and the actions of others, me being retaliated against, caused fear in another soldier's heart to report her rape is what's wrong with the military.
Yeah, 100%. Well, and you know, I never reported mine for that same reason. I had seen that sort of thing. I never knew if it was a rape, but I had seen women speak up. And now I had a mouth on me too, but it was always more for, I don't know, like army regulations, you know, like don't be a hypocrite, be a leader. You know, if you're going to lead, be a leader, that sort of thing. But when it came down to it, what happened to me, I didn't report it for the same reason, because I thought, you know what? I busted my butt for my career. I don't know what else I'm going to do. So I'm just going to suck it up.
See, I didn't. What's crazy is all this stuff I done learned about Fort Hood in this past year, I didn't even know was going on while I was there. They don't tell you that shit. They don't tell you none of that. What I realized after all the research I've done, majority of the rapes and sexual assaults that come out of Fort Hood is that person's first duty station and they just got there. They have not been there more than 2 years. That's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, stop it, y'all, too. Tully, you better stop it. Sorry.
You gotta make them kids behave. Tully,
damn, you don't listen, girl. She's done now. But I noticed that about Fort Hood. Mm-hmm. Most of the people that reported, because I've done a lot of studies through my social work classes and stuff. And of course, majority of my essays that I was allowed to pick the topic, you're damn right, I picked military sexual trauma and I picked therapy. So I've researched a lot of statistics and I noticed that Fort Hood is legitimately known for sexual assault at a first duty station. Like, people literally warn you before you go.
Were you warned?
Hell no. I didn't know nothing about the shit. I was just me, a sheltered person, you know, never been in trouble with the law, just sheltered as hell. Goes to the army to get out of my county, and partied hard. And just because I put myself in that situation does not give that person the right to do that to me.
No, absolutely not.
So,
you know, go ahead.
My main thing to tell people is that if you're afraid to report it to SHARP or, you know, somebody within the military, go tell somebody outside at least.
Mm-hmm.
See an outside doctor at least. Get an attorney. Do it the legal way to protect your life And it's sad that you have to say that. But in some situations, you're going to have to do it that way.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that, because, you know, in our first episode, we had Elizabeth on and we talked about making sure that you report it and that you can report restricted. So, you know, it's good to tell the story, because I'm sure you're not the only one that has mm-hmm. been through this. But I think, you know, correct me if you feel differently, Derry, but I feel like, you know, you have to know your own situation and your own command team, like really yep. know them. And then, you know, make the best decision that you think is for you, but certainly get the help, like what you're saying, and be protected, because you can't bear this burden by yourself.
The reason I reported it is like exactly what you said, know your command. My section leaders are top notch. And I would give them a shout out, but I can't say their names, but they are top notch. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I trust them with everything, with my life, with everything. That's why I told them it's not their fault it got out. It's everybody else's fault. The clinic that I went to, the commander, who then had to tell the command sergeant major, who then told somebody else, and it was a domino effect. But my two NCOs, my section leaders, did what they had to do, and they protected me to the fullest extent. And they would have done it for any of their soldiers.
Do you think the breakdown then is just with the senior leadership, like going back to the good old boy system for a lot of them? Now, I know we can't say everybody, because
yeah.
Nick that started this whole thing with some of the other guys with Veteran Trash Talk, I mean, he's a sergeant major, right? So it's obviously not everybody. But right. Is that, do you think in this case, that was what happened?
In a lot of the cases that I see and stuff that I've researched, I feel like what happens is it's more the lower ranking ones that are doing the damage done, but the higher ranking ones are covering it up to protect their division or to protect, you know, whatever they're protecting.
So like in the case of Vanessa Guillen.
Yes. I feel like it's even though the girl told me it was a commander that raped her, most of the statistics I'm seeing is within rank. Or an E5 and below. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there are some that are above E5, but majority that you will see is E5 and below. So it's like the damage happens then, and the higher ups, in order to protect their career or their unit, division, you know, morale system, stuff like that, not make people freak out, is to not do anything. Mm-hmm. Ignore it and it'll go away. I didn't go away, so they kicked me out, made me go away.
Mm-hmm. I don't have enough words of comfort, and just how much it baffles me, even though like that's the army I know, you know. So a lot of people will, they thank you for your service, and that's really hard for me, because I'm like, you don't know what service I came from, because yeah. It's not good.
Yeah. You
know, it's hard, you know, it's hard because you obviously, that's a big part of your life and you're proud of it in a way for what it stands for. But everything that you're put through, you're like, I don't think you'd be thanking me if you knew all of this. But I mean, I am so sorry this happened to you. And I just, again, when I reiterate, like, thank you so much for telling your story and just being so brave. And I know God is leading you. And I really feel like that's how we have come together. you know, right. truly is. I've been ignoring this part of me for 7 years. Like, nope, I'll just pretend that I wasn't in. I'll just pretend that that didn't happen. I'm just going to hate other female veterans because, you know, that's what we do.
Yeah.
You know, but our healing here has brought us together. So I really thank you so much, Sherry. And for anybody that might want to like connect with you, can they connect with you on TikTok? Is that the best?
Yeah. I have my Beacons AI account, which just basically has my my Instagram and my TikTok in there. You have my email. You can post that if anybody wants to get in contact with me. I want to thank you so much for allowing me on your podcast. I love it. I love the veteran trash talk. You know, I'm for that shit anyways. I want to leave with this. Don't let traumas go untreated. You are great injustice to your life, your family's life, your animals' lives, your kids' lives, by not getting the help that you actually need.
Absolutely.
Nobody can force you to get help. Nobody. You can go all the way down and hit rock bottom. I hit rock bottom. Ended up in a PTSD program that saved my damn life. So I encourage everybody who's been through something traumatic, go get help. It doesn't make you any less of a person. Actually, it makes you stronger.
Absolutely.
Definitely makes you stronger.
100%.
If I could go back into the Army and be in the section that I was in, hell yeah. I would still go back in, be with my same battle buddies in the section that I was in, deploy back, because I'm for serving my country. Mm-hmm. I'm not for the fuckery that comes along with it.
Right. Part of my,
but.
I'm with you there. I'm with you, yeah, 100%. It was the people that drove me out, really. Yeah. But. Everybody connect with Dari at it's Dhari 2113 on TikTok. She's got a lot of great, I mean, I watch her content like all day. I get stuck just on your videos. I'm like, yep, like it. Yep, like it. I like that one. I like that one. I like that one too.
Thank you so much.
I get sucked in and then I'm like, oh, I gotta like do stuff. So thank you so much for always being there and showing up for everybody and for being here tonight. I'd love to have you back. I want to like end up with, you know, a few of us veterans that we can get on and maybe we can do Q&A or just, you that know, would be- breathe or whatever, you know? So I would love to have you back on, or if there's anything else with your story that you say, oh, you know what? I really want to share this too. Like, just let me know. And we at Veteran Trash Talk are here for you.
Thank you
so much.
I'm down. Let's do it. Questions and answers. Let's have a group of females. That would be dope.
Yes. And then to our listeners, listen, I know. So NeuroFlow is one option for you as well that you can check out online for your own mental health services. That's something that you more than likely would have to pay out of pocket for. But just like Dari said, like if you don't feel comfortable getting the help that you need, on base or through your command or through the VA, then that is definitely an option. So check them out. They are sponsoring us and they are doing incredible things. They're working hand in hand with the Air Force right now. Go figure, because Air Force has the best of everything. But
yeah.
The bottom line is make sure that you're not alone and that you're getting help for you regardless of anything else so that you're protected. And if anybody is hearing this and you feel called to reach out to me, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok at Leah B. Day, B-E Day. If you want to, you know, be able to tell your story or just let us know that we are making a difference, I would appreciate that. So thank you all so much for sticking with us, Dari. Thank you again. And
thank you.
I look forward to having you again, sister.
Thank you so much. Love y'all.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to the full story of Jerry. I know that it can be really hard to listen to, especially if you're working through a lot of these things yourself. But if you haven't been through this and you just come here to hear us out, I just let you know that we really appreciate you. I want you to know that we really appreciate you. And on top of that, if you know somebody or if you are somebody who needs to tell your story or ready to tell your story, then please don't hesitate to reach out to me. You can find me on a lot of the main social media platforms. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Leah B-E Day. So L-E-A-H-B-E-D-A-Y. Just connect with me and let me know that you have a story you'd like to share and we can talk more about it. Thanks again for supporting our overall mission here at Veteran Trash Talk. We want to stop soldier suicide and we certainly want to bring a voice to the females that have been silent for so long so that we can make more awareness of what is going on in the military community and help put an end to MST and other traumatic events. Once again, make sure that you are checking out neuroflow.com, and that's going to help a lot if you need to speak to somebody, but you might be worried about your chain of command. And leaders, make sure that you're looking at that because it's a fabulous opportunity to be able to plug in with your soldiers and troops without really sacrificing the integrity of the team. So thank you guys again, and we'll see you next time.